Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live.
This is the story of two Bill and Ben party guys. Bill
and Ben.
Bill thought Helen Clark didn't look too shabby on her billboards and remarked that if he were drunk enough, he may go there.
Ben shuddered and said, "Are you crazy? Here's what she looks like without the airbrushing."
Bill retracted his statement and then vomited on a completely unrelated matter. Can you really trust Bill?
Or Ben?
No.
But wouldn't it be funny if they got into Parliament?
Of all the results in last Saturday's election, one of the more surprising, probably not least of all for themselves, was that the Bill and Ben party received over 10,000 votes and is New Zealand's 10th most popular party, well ahead of the Alliance, the Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis Party and Phillip Fields Pacific Party. For a party with no policies and only two list candidates, the presenters of TV3's Pop Sports Show, that's not bad going. So we thought we'd see what the lads have to say for themselves. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Surprised?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we kind of hoped that we were going to get a few votes. Otherwise, it was going to be a pretty embarrassing sort of social experiment. But, yeah, didn't expect to get quite as many as we did.
It's kind of one of those popularity contests, or when they're picking a sports team, you just don't want to be the last one picked. So we got kind of in the middle there. We weren't kind of like the star players or anything, but we're kind of
10th out of 19.
Yeah. That's yeah. Sort of like to think of ourselves as the best of the rest.
Really, well, yeah. Kiwi Party.
Yeah. If we could have beaten Kiwi Party, then we'd really be able to lay
claim to
the best of the
rest.
They
had a guy in a wheelchair on their billboards, exactly. Which it tugged on the heartstrings.
You're
so
always going to win
that.
With the minorities, aren't you?
You did have a mascot on yours, though. So,
yeah, that's
true.
Know,
there was that. I mean, 10th, though, you get in any list of the top 10, you're there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, the most important.
Don't quite get a haka, though, if you're in the Commonwealth Games, only 4th place. They don't go all the way to the 10th place. But maybe next time we'll get 4th.
But I mean, there are people that take this politics thing very, very seriously. Taito Phillip Field. I mean, fortunately, you don't have any alleged dodgy dealings like his. Alleged dodgy dealings, maybe, but that probably didn't do him any favours. People like Phillip Field, you know, MP for years and years, takes the whole thing very seriously, launches a party, and you guys just crap all over him.
Yeah, and to come in and just like make no bones about it from the outset that we had no policies whatsoever, and people voted for a party with literally no policy.
Went all the way there to vote and voted for a party with no policies.
Actually, got off the couch. Not only registered to vote, went down there, actually ticked the box on the day. Yeah, it is quite astounding when you sort of think about how much trouble like over 10,000 people went to vote for a party that has no policies.
Yeah, I mean, is it a protest vote? I mean, I suppose maybe it is.
Well, yeah, there was the whole underhang theory which came in, saying that basically because we only had two list MPs and if we got 5% of the vote, we'd end up with 6 seats in Parliament, meaning we could only fill 2 of them.
Maybe one for a chilli bin.
Well, maybe one for a chilli bin, yeah. But really could only fill 2 of them and couldn't fill the other 4 after the fact. So there'd be 4 less MPs in Parliament, meaning there's 4 less salaries that the New Zealand taxpayers going to have to fork out for. And so I think there was kind of like this whole protest vote thing that was sort of going in, but we didn't know about that until like actually John Campbell of all people made us aware of it about 3 days out from the end of the election.
If you want fewer MPs then vote for us.
I mean, wish we'd known it from the outset because then we could have been campaigning on that fact, but yeah.
Can you not, this interests me because I was thinking about this, if you did end up getting the 5% and you had this underhang, can you not just add people onto your list?
You've got to have them on from the outset because I guess that's the part of the whole democratic process. I mean, you don't want to sort of say, okay, well, we've got 2 list MPs and then at the very end of it, you come in with Saddam Hussein and just throw him on the in the party or, you know, somebody along those lines. Well, probably, yeah. That's probably going to be particularly difficult. But,
I know what you're saying.
Bin Laden, maybe. Okay, yeah. Let's say Bin Laden.
Again, tough, but
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Probably the safest place for him to hide is in the New Zealand Parliament,
On our list of MPs, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's like we were watching Parliament TV. We saw Ben, like, you were watching what? what made you decide to form the Bill and Ben party?
A lack of a career in television. It was kind of a trigger.
As you say, Parliament TV, we saw that as a great opening. Yeah. We get 8 shows a year on TV3. Well, Parliament TV, we could pretty much own that station.
Yeah, so, you know, we had some big plans for that one. Like sort of 90s Joe Cotton big. We had some big stuff that we were going to do with it. And we had this one plan for a show, which was a little bit of Country Calendar, a little bit of New Zealand Idol, wrapped up with a bit of Sex in the City, and hosted by Jason Gunn's head on Dominic Bowden's body.
That's kind of the dream combo we've discovered of presenters.
Jason Gunn's head, Dominic Bowden's body.
Yeah. I think the proportions would work out then. And and we kind of thought, you know, that would be a pretty sweet place to move into. So we initially sort of decided to start the party, but pretty much on that premise alone.
You could, because you could actually, I mean, you could, all Parliament TV's only on for a few hours a day when Parliament's on. I mean, you could actually probably use the rest of that channel the rest of the time if you were in there.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you wanted with it.
Yeah.
Just say bum for 8 hours.
Steal any more of my ideas.
Damn it, I saw that one written down too. That was a good one.
So you had one promise. And that was the promise that you wouldn't make any promises.
Yeah.
That's right.
Apart from that one.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you manage to get through the election campaign without making any more policies, any more promises?
We kind of made this sort of, I guess it wasn't really a promise, but we kind of said if we got more than 0.5% of the votes, we were going to get our $1,000 deposit back. And we managed to get 0.51 at this stage. Mm-hmm. And so we have got that money back. And we said that we would put that on a bar somewhere. And every area that we campaigned, we put it on a bar there.
I think when we were in Hamilton, we said we were going to put it on the bar at the Whale and Bongo. And then when we went to Palmy, we said we were going to put it on the bar at the Fitz. And then, you know, and so on down the country. We kind of did make some promises. But we probably should have said we promised not to keep any promises. Because that would have been a promise we could have kept. Yeah. Does that make any sense? I'm flummoxed myself on that one.
You confused yourself on that one.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein, he'd be good.
Yeah, that's right.
You know who'd be good?
Do you think the fact that you had a TV show, I mean, gave you... Because, I mean, Pulp Sport is on TV at the moment. Mm-hmm. And
it was quite separate from Pulp Sport, though. Friday nights, 9:30 on TV3. We tried to keep it very separate from Pulp Sport.
Friday nights, 9:30 TV3.
That's right.
But you did... I mean, you were on the night before the election. You were there primetime, sort of, whatever you call Friday night at 9:30 on TV3.
Oh, it's prime time.
It's kind of primetime.
For the purposes of this, it's that it is.
Everyone was home, getting a good night's rest before, so they could get up early and vote and whatnot. You were there on the TV, unfair advantage. No one else gets that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did actually run into the whole Electoral Finances Act thing, where we weren't actually allowed to make any reference in Pulp Sport to the Bill and Ben Party. However, fortunately for us, there's no sort of reverse to that, and the Bill and Ben Party could make mention of Pulp Sport as much as it liked, 9:30 Fridays TV3. And so it was good and it was bad, but we, you know, did we really get that much of an advantage over anybody else for having the TV show?
Good advertising for the show, though. How's the show been doing this season?
Yeah, actually surprisingly well.
Surprisingly well. I mean, it's done okay for the show.
I mean, given that it is Friday night, 9:30 TV3.
That's right.
Does that... I mean,
rolls off the tongue nicely, doesn't it?
Really does. I can't think of any other way of saying it now. But, you know, given that it is Friday night, 9:30 TV3, does that, you know, are people out? Your audience, are they not out?
We were really nervous about that, actually. Going into the series, because we'd previously been on Thursday nights, and then moving to Friday, we were kind of, nervous that a lot of the students might be, you know, out on the booze and whatnot. But
I mean, we're not all TV presenters. We can't all afford video cassette recorders and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, or MySky. we're a bit worried about it. But then, the ratings, the first two shows were bigger than anything we'd ever done before, so kind of put pay to that.
Now a little sort of extra, side order that came with that was the Bill and Ben Party drinking game, which sort of did all the rounds of email. It's amazing how this everyone suddenly sees something. You know, everyone in New Zealand seems to get that email, a couple of days beforehand. Did it reports on how that went? We had a couple of
mentions on our Facebook page of some drunken people, hating us and John Campbell, because he started his little introduction on the election was saying, for those playing the drinking game, marvellous. Which I thought was a great way to start.
He's a good sport, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was good.
Did you calculate how much, if someone had been watching the election coverage, how much they would have had to drink over the course of the night?
I think the technical term is poleaxed. We didn't get any reports of alcohol poisoning or anything like that, fortunately. But there was a couple of ways you could play it. You could play it like where every single time one of the things occurred, or you could tick them off, and we'd sort of left spaces
so
John Campbell says marvellous, tick that one off, I've drunk for that one, now we'll move on to the next thing and wait for those.
And
so that was the responsible way of playing the game, but we did leave it open for either way.
Right, and now that you've had this sort of, you know, relatively surprising outcome, 10,000 votes, I mean, point five. If you actually try, if you thought what you could actually do if you actually tried, I mean, has this triggered any ideas, like next time,
You're sounding like my high school gym teacher. You know, have you thought about what you could do if you actually tried? Trained, perhaps.
You actually applied yourself.
Yeah.
Could be someone. I don't know, it's a good base to start with.
We got a phone call not so long ago from the New World Order Party.
Yeah, we did.
Uh, yeah, seeing if they, if we'd be interested in forming some sort of coalition with them.
Keeping their name.
Given
but,
that,
yeah. but we're
giving them
your
votes.
But basically, yeah.
I think given that they had about 300 votes or something.
Well, they actually, you couldn't vote for them at all because they didn't actually manage to cobble together the $1,000 deposit to actually run as register as a proper party.
Their political advertising was actually asking for money.
Yeah, that's right. They got the address.
How does that happen? That you don't form a party, but you can get the advertising to form the party or something.
Well, see, there was every party's entitled to a minimum of $10,000 taxpayer money to sort of
to
advertising.
Promote the party,
and we decided not to take that part, take that money, because we kind of thought, well, it's a bit of a waste of taxpayers' money.
Especially when you've got that show on.
Yeah, 9:30 Fridays. So we didn't take that money, but they took that money, and they've got their public address on TVNZ and all that, but then they didn't have $1,000 to go.
It's odd logic. Look, anyway, so, but thoughts, seriously, next time will you be back there, or just the once a few?
Well, I mean, we'll basically see what we have to promote.
we can probably say that now.
Give it 3 years, we might be trying to shellac another show around town and needing the promotion.
Well, that may be the career option.
That may, yeah, by that time, the whole TV thing may have washed up completely.
This time it's personal or serious or something. Yeah.
This time it's political.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, thanks very much for coming on the show. Good luck with the rest of the season, and whatever you decide to do from now on in your political careers.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Can you really trust Bill?
Or Ben?
No.
But wouldn't it be funny if they got into Parliament?
And in case you missed it, and just to make this interview even more of a promo for their TV show, Pulp Sport is 9:30 Friday on TV3. Coming up after the break, we talk to the Motts.